The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Some of you know me, and so I say to you, I'm back. And you can blame Bob Pop for that. He told me I must once again become a worship associate. But we are here today as a liberal faith community. There's no dogma. There's no creed. We are free thinkers that encourage in lively discussions. To help you find your own spiritual path, you do not have to look a certain way. You do not have to think a certain way or love a certain way. We just are glad you're here, wherever you are on your journey. Dave Dunn, our minister, says he's going to go bananas today. So that should be interesting. And he has cohorts in this operation, and that's the phenomenally talented Alex Peach as the music director. Denise Wilson is also sharing the worship associate, and we have Bruce Langston as our technical leader. Anyway, since you came for your grandchildren, that forces me to tell you a story that Ania, my 20-month-year-old granddaughter, saw me eating breakfast of a banana chocolate muffin. And she came over and said, "More?" So I gave her some, and she said, "Thank you." So then she came back and said, "More?" But she didn't say thank you. I said, "What do you say?" She said, "Wow." And that's the reaction you may get from the service today. So I'm going to give you a bit of trivia. In the 50s, there was a puppet show called Howdy Doody that some of you may remember. His sister was Heidi Doody. So if you ever play trivia, you're set. Now I want you to stand up and say Howdy Doody to the people next to you.
Good morning. Before we get started, we do have just a few announcements. There are a few adult enrichment offerings this morning. Please refer to your printed order of worship for the class locations. All ages are welcome in service. We do have a fidget shelf in the back if anyone is interested in that. There is no second hour religious exploration this morning. It will resume next week. And the religious exploration schedule for the next several weeks is in your printed order of worship. Please join us on MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Monday, January 15th, for UMIN's annual Day of Service project. This year, we will return to Fur Kids headquarters in Cumming to help care for the grounds and the cats. All ages are welcome. If you're allergic to cats, we can make sure you are on the Caring for the Grounds team. So please scan the QR code in your order of worship to sign up. There are 40 spots for us, and they are filling up. So if you do have questions, please see Elizabeth Rohan. The always fun and not to be missed UMIN Talent Show will be held on Saturday, January 27 at 7 p.m. Mark your calendars. A sign-up sheet will be sent later this week. If you have talent, please sign up. If you don't have talent, please sign up. Talk to Reverend Dave or Elizabeth Rohan for details. And our Chalice Choir is back. Lift your voice. Come join the fun. Ask any choir member. Rehearsals are Wednesday evenings from 7 to 8:30. UU101 is coming up during second hour, which is 11:15 to 12:45 on the last two Sundays in January, the 21st and 28th. This is your chance to learn more about Unitarian Universalism and UMIN, and we welcome both newcomers and anyone else who wants to learn more. The UMIN Chili Cook-Off will be held on Sunday, February 4th at noon, directly after second hour. So mark your calendars and get your best recipe perfected. We have a special thing happening today, right after service. Everybody is invited to please hang around for just a minute and come up to the front for a big group photo to share with our partner congregation in Mausandri, Northeast India.
Good morning. From Zen priest Shinyuru Suzuki, he writes, "Which is more important, to make $1 million or to enjoy life in your effort little by little, even though it were impossible to make that $1 million? Which is more important, to be successful or to find some meaning in your effort to be successful?" And now let us light our chalice together.
Our chalice lighting this morning is called Letting Go by Jay Wolin. Are we a people of holding on or of letting go? Holding on to rigid ideas or letting go and opening our minds and our hearts to something new? Holding on to certainty of how things should be or letting go and living with the uncertainty of new ways of being in the world? Holding on to what makes us comfortable or letting go so we may grow, which can be uncomfortable. Holding on to what makes us safe or letting go to make room to help others feel safe. With this flame, this symbol of our religion, let it be a symbol of burning up the ties that hold us back from being our true self and reaching our true potential. Let it be a symbol of lighting a new way for us into a better tomorrow. And let it be a symbol of letting go, because holding on too long and too tightly is never good for the soul. Every month, UMIN splits the offering with a recipient during our 50-50 program. And this month's 50-50 recipient is No Harm. No Harm is a national organization that engages men and communities to redefine manhood by developing and advancing healthy practices of living that foster peace, equity, and gender justice. Spencer Murray is here with us this morning from No Harm to give us an overview of their work.
That I wrote about the journey, my own journey, and and inspired me to create no harm. And I think it speaks best to the work that we do, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it after the poem. I am learning to be more human as I grow from the inside out. So if I get a little emotional, stay with me, because it is personal to me. And I think it's consistent with the message here at Human. It's called A Journey to Wholeness, A Journey to Wholeness. I was recruited into a way of being that started the division. The seeds of separation began disrupting my inner vision. I suppressed my deepest emotion and I hid the inner tension. Indifference and self-reliance became my chosen religion. No woman, emotion, or feeling could hardly interrupt my devotion to an exclusive club called Man the Heck Up. Emotional withholding became my weapon and my vice. If you got close and tried to disarm me, you paid a heck of a price. I pretended to be a self-made man, one who pretended to know thyself, but I could rarely offer the love and intimacy that I didn't have for myself. I enjoyed an elevated status with men and was celebrated by my peers. But behind the veil, I was battling the disease of holding back my tears. I was silently suffering by myself and didn't quite know why. So I numbed the pain with alcohol and any drug that I could try. The hat I wore atop my head became too heavy of a crown. The pain of pretending was catching up to me. Man up was becoming man down. Another night of binging found me dazed and confused on my bed. And with tears in my eyes, I looked in the mirror and held a loaded gun to my head. I fell to my knees and let out a big scream and cried out to God for help. And from that day on, I was slowly released from the prison in which I dwelt. I started to realize that for most of my life, I was living as half human. I bought into the idea of the dominant masculine to the detriment of anything feminine. I was out of balance and blinded by skewed messages surrounding me every day. Toxic teachings, trainings, and even religion had encouraged me to be this way. When I expanded the lens I looked through, my eyesight began to change. I began to embrace the lost parts of myself, a self that was once estranged. The praise I once received from the crowds can't compare to the rewards I earned. As I invite my brothers to see what I see, what was once taught can be unlearned. To my brothers who may continue to believe there's only one way to be a man, release the limits of either or thinking and expand to the truth of both and. Our authentic power reveals itself when we're vulnerable and disarmed, and the man with divine knowledge of self will always choose no harm. My friends, every word of that is true. And I believe that men are hurting. I believe that boys are hurting. And so our mission is to restore wholeness to boys and men, to humanity, but particularly to boys and men, because many of us are fragmented, disconnected from our humanity, disconnected from ourselves. So we go everywhere we can. We're in South Atlanta High School. We're poised to go into Metro Reentry Facility. We have a partnership against domestic violence. We have a meeting next week with Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Everywhere we go, we're trying to spread this message because we believe that men's wellness and the safety of women and girls is not mutually exclusive. They are together. And if men become well, then the community becomes well. If boys become well, the community becomes well. And so the best thing that I think we can do for the safety of all, but particularly women and girls, is make sure men and boys are well. All right, so I thank you for giving to No Harm. I thank you for having us here. Appreciate you. I love you. I honor you, and I bless you. Thank you.
up on that. Once upon a time, there was an ambitious miner hacking with his pick at the base of a mountain. And as he's hacking with his pick, he's thinking, you know, I want to be someone important. You know, the owner of this mine, he's important. I wish that I were the owner of the mine. And poof, he became the owner of the mine. He is the one supervising everybody. He feels really important now. But after a while, he got tired of that. He says, I don't know, this. I wish I were king, because the king can rule all, not just the mine, but all of the land. And poof, he becomes king. He feels like he's important now. He's the king of the whole land. And it was a sunny day, and he was looking up at the sun and seeing that the sun, like, went over all things. And he said, wow, you know, I wish I were the sun. That way my light would shine on everything. And poof, he became the sun. He felt good being the sun, seeing everything, giving light to all things. But soon, this cloud drifted by, casting a shadow on parts of the land. And he's thinking, wow, this cloud is powerful. I wish that I were a cloud. That way I could block even the sun. And poof, he became a cloud. He's feeling pretty good. He's casting shadows that the sun cannot even get through. Feeling good about himself. But then this wind blew, and the cloud drifted away. And he thought, wow, this wind can push me around. I think I should become the wind and be truly powerful. And poof, he became the wind. He could blow things around that he wanted. Loved blowing clouds around and making trees sway. And then he came to a mountain and tried to blow on the mountain, but the mountain did not move. He's like, a mountain is steadfast, resolute. Maybe I should be a mountain. Yes, that is the most powerful. And poof, he became a mountain. Now I'm strong and nothing is gonna move me. But soon he heard an axe picking at the base of the mountain, taking chunks of the mountain away. He said, wow, that's truly powerful. I wish I were a miner. And poof, he became a miner. Inside a very small cage, very small. Invariably, a monkey would come along, reach its hand into the cage, and grab the banana. Then the monkey catcher simply walked up and took possession of the monkey. The monkey was not in any cage. The monkey was completely free. Yet for some reason, letting go of the banana in the cage was out of the realm of possibility. So the monkey was simply apprehended. So I said that the monkey was completely free, and that the monkey really was, you know, completely free, obviously, and not in any cage. But in a way, if we think more deeply about it, the monkey kind of was in a cage of its own making. And not entirely free. He didn't know how to put down the banana. It was out of the realm of his possibility to put down that thing to which he was attached.
I don't know if that's the basis for the term going bananas. I was thinking about that, but I don't know where that came from, but maybe that's it. Anyway, you probably likely know where I'm going with this. Are we imprisoned by our bananas? Are we completely free when relinquishing hold of our bananas or our attachments or our addictions is out of the realm of possibility? Writing this sermon reminded me of the bit that comedian George Carlin used to do, maybe his most famous bit, which I can't do it justice, but it was about stuff. You know, he says, oh, we all like to have our stuff, and our whole purpose of our lives is to go out and get more stuff. He says, all your house is a place to store your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. And then eventually you got to move. Why? You got to get a bigger house to hold all your stuff so you can go out more stuff. He goes on and on and on, but it's a good bit. But I was reminded of this when thinking about that monkey and holding on to our bananas, our stuff, our attachments. We've all heard this kind of advice before, that it's ultimately unfulfilling if you seek refuge, if you get your identity from your possessions. You hear sayings like, you can't take it with you, and money can't buy happiness. But our egos tell us that we are special. We are different than all the other people. We are enlightened. So when we can say to ourselves, yeah, you can't take it with you, but I'm willing to give it a try. Money can't buy happiness, but I'm willing to give it a go. Sometimes our attachments and addictions take hold of us and imprison us in ways that we can't imagine. Sometimes they work in reverse. We have our own pet peeves, our aversions. We refrain from something, abstain from something in an unhealthy way. We say that it's unhealthy, and we refrain from it. And it's really kind of an attachment or addiction in reverse. There's a great example of this in the 2000 movie called Chuck-a-Lot. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil some of it for you. But in this movie, a young woman moves to a small Italian town, and she opens up a chocolate shop. And the mayor of the town, for some twisted, religious, perverse reason, thinks that chocolate is like an evil thing. That to eat chocolate is really, it's just a sensual experience, and that's not a good thing. So one night, he breaks into the chocolate shop, like well after midnight, with a knife to kill the chocolate. And he goes into the front storefront window, and he starts stabbing all the chocolate that's in the window. But invariably, some gets on his lips, and he licks it. That's all it takes. He goes bananas. He starts ingesting all of the chocolate in the window. Just, he can't control himself. It's smeared all over his face. He's lying on the ground, dropping chocolate drops into his mouth. And he's laughing hysterically until he starts crying. He starts weeping in there because he finally realizes that he's been in this prison of his own making for so long. And he passes out in the storefront window. And the next morning, the townspeople see the mayor of the town in the window with all this chocolate over him. So it's embarrassing, obviously, to him. Yet it's a turning point in his life. You know, he becomes free. He's finally let go of that banana. In his book, Confessions, St. Augustine famously and passionately writes about his addictions and attachments. He was raised a pagan, yet at age 30, he wished to convert to Christianity and dedicate his life to God and become a priest, but he had a problem. He's age 30, but since age 18, He had been living with a woman and had a child with a woman and loved this woman for 12, 13 years. His conversion was impeded by his attachments, his addictions, his enslavement to the ways of the flesh. In Confessions, he writes to God saying this, "Two wills existed within me, one old, one new, one servant to the flesh, the other to the spirit. We were in conflict, and they tore my soul apart. My inner self was a house divided against itself. I was frantic, overcame by violent anger with myself for not accepting your will, God, and entering into your covenant. Yet in my bones, I knew that this was what I ought to do. I longed to be in the house where you dwell, the shrine of your glory, but I was still held firm in the bond of a woman's love. No more was required than an act of will. I tore my hair. I hammered my forehead with my fists. I locked my fingers and hugged my knees. I did all this because of I made an act of will to do it. I bitterly hated myself, and I prayed to you for chastity and said, give me continence and chastity. But not yet. But not yet." An amazing book, very deep. Give me chastity, but not yet. Eventually, in a pivotal, salient moment, he instantly converts and has the strength to convert. And later, he reflects upon his suffering and his addictions and attachments and aversions. He says, "We try to see the reason for our suffering, but darkness overshadows us and we turn away asking, when will this end? Again and again, we ask ourselves this question, but we do not relinquish our worldly aims because we cannot see the light of any truth that we might grasp in place of them. Because we cannot see the light of any truth that we might grasp in place of them. It's out of the realm of possibility to let these things go. I used to do a lot of backpacking. And when backpacking, you have to take considerable time thinking about what you need to take backpacking, because it's kind of defined it. Everything you think you need, you have to carry. So I read this book by a famous backpacker. I forget his name, but he was kind of famous for being a very light backpacker. And in this book, he said something that stuck with me and has troubled me for a very long time. He said, if you need it, he's talking about what you need backpacking. If you need it and don't have it, then you really don't need it. I had to think about that for a while. I think that, you know, the Tom Hanks character in the movie Castaway could have used like a satellite phone or possibly some kind of global positioning beacon or something like that. That would have been nice to have. But generally speaking, I think that outside of life or death situations, if you need something and don't have it, you really don't need it. I think that kind of holds true. Yes, I would love to have an espresso machine and an air fryer when I'm backpacking. But lugging these things and other things, I mean, bananas are bulky and heavy. Packing and lugging these things around on a backpacking trip ultimately leads to an unfulfilling backpacking experience. When you get right down to it, do we really own our possessions? What do we own really? To what are we attached? Are we our stuff? Do our possessions give us our identity? Can we use this new year to re-examine our possessions and attachments, addictions and aversions? Can we redefine, possibly for the very first time, our relationship to ourselves, to others, and to the world around us? Might we be in fear of relinquishing our hold on our stuff, our attachments, our aversions, our pet peeves, because we cannot see the light of any truth that we might grasp in place of them? It isn't easy to let go of these things, not easy at all. But I do believe that freedom lies on the other side of that fear. In this new year, may we all have the courage to identify and overcome this fear, have the courage to let go of the banana and experience true freedom, possibly for the very first time.
This mic. This is a poem called A Prayer. A kind word, a gentle touch, unites me to other people. I pray for the sweetness of life to be known to me so I might know serenity. At times, my childish anger deprives me of the contentment I pursue. The universe abides in my spiritual being and radiates from me to connect me with all things living. I must learn to remain quiet enough to hear the whispering voices of wisdom from the generations that have come before me and those yet to come.
Now let us extinguish our chalice together using the words found in your bulletin. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
To be content with little is difficult. To be content with much, impossible. Go in peace and enjoy your week.
We're gonna take a photo to share with our sister church in India. We're gonna do that right now. So if you can stay here in the sanctuary for a few minutes, if you have to run to the potty, you can do that and come back in five.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.